98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. It's great to have you with us again. Each week, I so look forward to sharing these next 30 minutes with you as we look into the Word of God. You know, one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of is how His Word will not return without accomplishing what He sent it to do. Think of that. It's a gift that's been sent to us, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and the wisdom of God today will give you the ability and the freedom to step into the life that He's called you to. I appreciate what it says about His Word being living and active and powerful. Think about that in their how it relates to truth. It's living, it's active, and it's powerful. Think of how that relates to my life, your life. That we would be people that live the life that Christ calls us to by the Word of God and applying it to daily lives. That we would activate our faith. That we wouldn't just talk about faith, but we would actually do what Christ calls us to do. To love people and to forgive people, to walk in honor and blessing. So as we begin to live and move and have our very being, that it's part of our identity, part of who we are. That it's not just something that we do, but it's a part of who we are. It's the very nature of who Christ has created us to be. And that gives us the strength to step into each day. I so appreciate in Romans chapter 8 where it says, by that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that it would dwell in us and it would quicken us, meaning that we would activate, that we would be the living being followers of Christ because His Spirit lives inside of us. And so this morning we're going to look into Romans chapter 12, and if you're consistently with us, that's a word I continually hear over and over in these last couple months, consistency. We started this a few weeks ago, and it's been interrupted by a couple different things. Last week, we had our youth pastor, Joshua Vineyard, shared the message, and he talked about how God has called him to another ministry after 5 years of very fruitful ministry with Cornerstone, and God equipping him and really establishing him for this next stage of ministry. And he's taking on a role there with a new church plant just outside of the city of Atlanta. And so we're excited about that, even though we're going to miss him greatly and the influence that he had, especially on youth and young adults. But we know this, that God called him and he's equipped him for what he's calling him to do. And so he spoke last week, this series that we've called One Life to Live, One Life to Give. Think of that. One life to live, one life to give. I don't want us to miss that because there's such incredible importance in that statement. Think of this, that each one of us have been given this absolute gift of life and that we are called to step into it with appreciation. One life to live and one life to give. A couple weeks ago, we talked with our students, Foundations Academy, and I talked to them about them, how we took them to the farm property and we worked. And we said many times people work to get, but we illustrate and we teach that we absolutely work to give. That we have a bigger pursuit than just acquiring and attaining personal possessions. But we work to give. Life is about giving. We're going to talk about that. We talked a couple weeks ago in verse 3 where Paul talks about the grace that's been given to me and how I'm to live with a sane estimation of who I am. And then from that place of humility, it gives me the platform to be able to lead like Christ led in a place of Him humbling Himself. And this morning we're going to talk about how the gifts that God's given to each one of us and how Paul equates this to a body, a physical body, and how the body has different instruments. And so it causes me to reflect and say, what what part of the body am I to the church? And so it might be in a place of leadership, a place of teaching. Others are a place of exhortation, a place of prophecy, a place of giving. And then it's not an exhaustive list here, because we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he details in even greater depth the gifts that have been given. And he again relates it to the human body and how we're all part of that body and how we work together as unified and honoring one another. Those are novel concepts in the world that we're living in today, aren't they? So let's just join in prayer. And like I said a few minutes ago, we're so glad that you're with us. And I pray that if God really, and I believe that he will, take this word and he will impact your life in such a way that you will walk from this message with greater clarity and a greater sense of expectancy. Get that? Clarity and expectancy. So clarity means I can focus, and expectancy means I look ahead with expectations. I look ahead with a great hope. And so I'm praying that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear if God has ministered through this ministry to you. You would encourage us by responding in that way. And we hear from many people, and it's just amazing to me that when we have made ourselves available and we continue to walk by faith, how his word manifests and how it applies to so many people. And so we're so grateful today. And I would encourage you to, the best advertisement is the word of mouth. And so if you glean from this radio ministry, I would encourage you to tell somebody about it and encourage them to be a part of it, because you and I are called to be a blessing. Even this morning, I thought of that. Somebody challenged me that I'm called to live out not a curse, but I'm called to live out a blessing. I am called not to be a curse, but I'm called to be a blessing. I believe that for each one of you. And so maybe you can bless somebody and say, man, you should listen at 7:30 on Sunday morning, or 8 o'clock on another station on Sunday morning, because it will encourage you and equip you to be the man that Christ is calling you, the woman that Christ is calling you to be. So one life to live, one life to give. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for, God, you've given us life to live. You've given us a life to give. And so in a world of such selfishness and such absolute, God, just absolute conflict at times, we pray that we will sense, God, unity in hearts and minds right now, and that you will speak to people and they will know that you, by your Spirit, are speaking to them. And so we thank you for this, and we praise you today. We declare that any plan of the enemy to distract us right now would be pushed aside, and you would give us, God, the ability to focus and that clarity in our minds to be able to receive what your truth is today, and then we can apply it and walk out that freedom that, God, is so absolutely attractive, so that we would be people that are set free to live and move and have our being. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, and we ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 12. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and we've been moving on through this whole chapter. And so I made it a practice to read this whole chapter, because I don't believe we can ever miss that word being impacting our lives. I appeal, Paul writes, to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace, this is what we talked about a couple weeks ago in verse 3. For by grace, the grace that's been given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of himself with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What an interesting declaration he makes here. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, being many of one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in the proportion to your faith. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, it says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate. Do what is honorable. There that word is again. Honorable in the sight of avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will come evil with good. Let me evil. Last verse, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In a world that is so fixated on what is evil, and especially this season that we're entering into, where people can go get so preoccupied with horror and evil, hear me, the word of God is powerful. That when we're living, and Jesus says, in a land and a time of lawlessness, get that? That's what Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 4, that they were going to see times of lawlessness, people living without restraint, people living for their own plans, their own devices, their own pursuits. That's evil. He says, in the midst of that, that lawlessness, we can look up. We can look ahead with hope because Christ is our hope. And you can overcome evil with good. You can overcome the devil because Christ is in you and Christ is for you. Now, if you don't have Christ in you and for you, that's one in the same. He's in you and he's for you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. But if you don't have that, you have no option in this battle that you're in. You will lose because evil, you have no authority to fight against evil without the goodness of God, without the wonderful gift of grace, the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. And so you will lose in this battle that you are confronting. Without God, you have no hope. Without Christ, we have no hope. And so he says this at the end of this chapter, where he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm so thankful that he put that in there because it reminds me again and again that I am more than a conqueror, that I'm more than a victor because of Christ who loved me, who Christ who lives inside of me. Now we're going to start reading and we're going to start really looking at verse 4, where Paul says here, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. Paul really is laying down a teaching that, like I said earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he goes back into that same thought when he writes this letter to the church at Corinth. And he says, understand this, and it's an easily understood principle. It's an easily understood principle. Like he says in Corinthians, if we were all the eye, where would the hearing be? And if we were all the ear, where would the sense of smell be? And if we were all hands, where would it said, I have no need of feet. Think of how ridiculous that is. Think of how easily understood this parable or this illustration is. And so Paul's telling us that in a world that wants to separate and divide, get that? Remember what he said later on in chapter 12? He said, we're called to live at peace. We're called to honor one another. We're called to live in unity and harmony with one another. In a world that is so preoccupied with division and strife based on everything that you can possibly imagine. That's why when he writes to the Corinth church in chapter 12, what he says to them, he says, you know, it's not about Greek or Jew or slave or free. He says all of these things that want to separate us and divide us, who want to build barriers between us, it's foolishness, and all it does is it weakens the church. It brings in that division that will ultimately destroy. And so Paul is telling us a very simple principle, something that is so practical that no one can misunderstand it. He says this in relationships to the physical body, he says the church is to be. That means you and I are called to be united in a body of believers. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he was not making some promise that he didn't fulfill. Get that? He was not making a promise that he was not going to fulfill. You can look around and you can say, this church, this denomination, look what they're doing, look what they're accepting. But that's not what Jesus is saying when he's referring to the church. He's referring to not people that have some religious degree or will have to go through some process. He is saying to those who have been bought with a price, meaning they have experienced the wonderful forgiveness of Christ through repentance, and the Spirit of Christ now lives inside of them because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was paid for on the cross, and we experience the Spirit of God now living inside of us, being born again. That's that whole definition of what that means. He says that church will not, the enemy will not prevail against it. His kingdom is an overcoming kingdom. It's a conquering kingdom, and that's what he calls his church to. He says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, meaning the opposition that hell wants to bring against you, has no authority because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross when he said, it is finished. When he declared, it is finished, meaning that war is over. We're going to have some skirmishes and some battles, but ultimately, he has won the victory. And because he has won the victory, I can walk in that victory. Remember, I say this a couple weeks ago, victims are never victorious. Through Jesus Christ was never a victim. He was the victor. And because of what Jesus Christ did, you and I can walk in that authority and walk in that victory. And I know the enemy, he is that one that wants to accuse us. He wants to continue to deceive people, but I believe that right now God, is by his Spirit, is setting people free from condemnation and accusations. He's setting you free to be able to experience the promise that he made for you. I came to set the captives free. And so he's calling you into that body. Even today, at the end of the service, I'm going to invite people to come and experience the wonderful gift of grace, the wonderful forgiveness. You can't earn it, but Christ wants to give you a gift of his forgiveness. Your past, you can do nothing. You can do nothing to solve the problems of your past, the pain of your past, the mistakes of your past, but Christ today wants to forgive people. He wants to fill you with his presence, his Spirit. And you'll know a peace that you've never known before. You'll begin to experience a joy that you've never known before. And you will be part of that church that he promised is going to be an overcoming church, a victorious church, a more than conquering church. And that's the church that he's coming back for, isn't it? So Paul says this, that even though we have different functions, we are all part of a body. We members of one body. And we don't have the same functions. He goes on in verse 5, so though there are many, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Think of that. So we, though many, are one body. I had somebody this last week tell me, they said they drove through Ramsey, and they can't believe how many, they said, you have parking issues. I said, yeah, we have some parking issues, but not nearly the parking issues that I witnessed when I was at a church several years ago in Brooklyn, New York. I couldn't even believe they were parking, they were having cars go up in elevators, and it was an enormous amount of money to pay for parking. I said to our church, we have no problem with parking compared to that. We don't even charge you. You can come and park for free. You might have to park three blocks away, but you can still find a place to park. They said, how do you fit? We who are many. I said, it's pretty tough to find a place to sit anymore at Cornerstone. And that lady, the one, his wife said to me, she said, you know what? That's a problem. That's a good problem to have. I believe this, that God's calling many in. He's calling many out of darkness. He's calling many into a body of his, into his body right now, into his church right now. And we see that in unprecedented ways. Ways that, as I've been a pastor now for almost 40 years, over 37 years, but what we're witnessing right now is God's removing the blinders from people's eyes. He's removing the things that have caused them to be deaf spiritually. He's saying, blessed are people because they're beginning to see and they're beginning to hear the voice of God, the truth of God's word, and they're beginning to apply it to their lives. Why is it that the Bible sales have just skyrocketed in these last 4 years? Because people are hungry for something that's consistent. Remember what Jesus said in Hebrews, or remember what it declares about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a world that is so absolutely out of control and so many things are variable, people are looking for consistency. They're looking for something that doesn't change. Isn't it something? I was thinking about this last week with AI. And how people are saying, is that real? I mean, I heard the voice of somebody. I thought it was their voice, but it's actually AI generated. People are saying, what is truth? What is truth? I heard that this last week. What is truth? I don't know if I can believe that report, but hear me. The word of God does not change. The word of God does not change. Let me say that again. The word of God does not change. And so the truth of God doesn't change. And so what I find in his word is not open to debate or argument. It will not change. And people are finding that attractive. And they're being drawn into the body. And so the many are becoming greater. More and more our people are hungering and searching after a consistent truth. So it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace that's been given to us. Think of this. In verse 3, Paul says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Think of this. And that God gives us a measure of faith. Paul is saying, by the grace given to me. Here he says in verse 6, by the grace, isn't that what he says? Having gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. So that grace that's given to us, and later on, he will revisit that same thought, the grace that's been given to us. Oh, I tell you what, I just love people that know how to give good gifts. This last week, I had some time to spend with one of the young men that has just been raised up and has went out in full-time ministry, and he was back from up in the northern part of Canada this last week and spent a couple days with me. But I'm telling you what, I've watched that young man from the time he was 16 to now he's 25, and here's what I've watched in the last 11 years, is I've watched how he's been given so much, and now he's a giver. He's experienced the gifts of grace that have been given to him, and now he operates as a giver of grace. See, the grace that's been given to us is not something, the unmerited favor of God, the absolute overwhelming love of Christ that's been poured upon us. The word says it's been lavished upon us, that gifts of grace that have been given to us. Then you and I are recalled and been given that responsibility because what we've been entrusted to. If you've been given grace, think of this, if you've been given grace, then you have no excuse as to not to give grace. Because what Paul is saying, that when we've been given and we have different gifts and different callings and different talents, then he says, but operate in that to build up the body as one. And so you and I will ask, we will be asked one day to give an account. And I live with this sobering thought consistently because I feel like God has entrusted to me a level that I never expected. But I live with that constant sobering reminder that one day he will say, what did you do with what I entrusted to you, Todd? It goes back to the parable of the talents in chapter 25 of Matthew. When you've been given grace, when these talents have been given to you, when you've been given such wonderful, wonderful, absolute, the love of Christ been lavished in your life, lavished onto your family, how do you respond? What do I do with what I've been given? This grace, the unmerited favor of God is how I like to define it, has been given to us. And so he says, and we'll get into this next week when we'll talk about this, that's been given, they differ according to the grace. So if it's prophecy at the end of verse 6, in the proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, let us, in one who teaches in teaching, and one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. These are incredible gifts. And like I said a few minutes ago, they're not exhaustive. We go into 1 Corinthians and they do give a greater detail to the gifts that are entrusted to the church. And so as Paul is naming these, you think about those. Every one of those are absolute astonishing when you think about them in relationship to how they build up the church. Prophecy. Josh, remember what Josh shared about last Sunday on the radio message? How he was traveling back from his grandmother's funeral, him and his wife and little Willow. They were on a plane, and a stewardess came up to them and brought what he said is like a gallon bag of treats for Willow. And how he said that woman began to, she built relationship with them. And then he said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yeah." And then she began to prophesy, and she began to tell him things that he did not know. But God was moving upon her. See, prophecy is something that is foretelling the goodness of God, foretelling the absolute presence and the power of God to lead us and guide us. It's telling us, it's giving us wisdom from above, pure and peaceable. See, that's prophecy. I believe this with all my heart. Today, God's calling people out of darkness. See, that could be defined as prophecy. That's the good news of God. That's the will of God. The will of God is not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All should experience the wonderful gifts of grace. I didn't get what I deserve. He gave me so much more. I deserved judgment, but he gave me mercy. He gave me forgiveness. You see, that's the good news of God, is he wants to call people out of darkness. And this morning, I want to pray for you. We're going to end in prayer, but I want to take a couple moments here before we do, because I believe this, that God says grace is, and it's, this is going to resonate with somebody this morning. You look at other people and you think they have been given such gifts of grace, but it seemingly like it's bypassed me. But today the Lord is speaking to you, is today is a gift of grace for you. Today is a gift of God, his favor. He's going to cancel out curses over your life today. We're going to declare that these things that have been spoken about you, over you, that this mindset that you've lived under, that nothing good happens to me, that curse is going to be broken, because the unmerited favor of God is going to begin to rest on your life. When you begin to just say, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, fill me. Forgive me." I'm going to pray right now, and the miracle working power is going to be demonstrated in your life. Because it's not me, it's just the will of God. It's the wisdom of God that's going to manifest in your life today. So you receive that right now. And hear me, you're going to experience the wonderful freedom of Jesus, because he said he came to do it for you, because he loves you. Father, I thank you that you're drawing people out of darkness right now. I thank you that you're moving in miraculous right ways. I thank you that, God, you have gifts for people right now, gifts of grace. God, would you do that right now? And we just declare right now that by the power of the blood of Christ, that these curses that people have lived under would be canceled out. This feeling like I've done too much, I've went too far, I break that lie right now, and I declare the gift of grace, that God, you would give people the ability to just find that place where they just feel your conviction and drawn to a place of repentance, and that you, by your Spirit, will forgive them and release them from these curses that they've lived under. And so we praise you and we thank you. We thank you that you today, God, you're saving people. Today, you're healing people. Today, you're delivering people. You're delivering them from addiction. Spirit of infirmity, break. Thank you that we have all authority, because Jesus, you had all authority. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. It'll certainly feel like fall today with a mix of sun and clouds, breezy and chilly with highs in the low to mid 50s. For tonight, mostly clear and cold with lows near 30. On Monday, a few isolated showers in the afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. It's 41 degrees at our studios.
98Q Country.
She's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand and take it easy.
I put on my old records that I hid in the back of the closet and I turned them up to 10 and then I played them all again. I found my independence, can't believe I ever lost it. What you wanted, ain't it? It's what you wanted. My own sheets in the bed I made up. I forgot I had dreams, I forgot I had wings, forgot who I was before I ever kissed you. Yeah, I thought I'd miss you, but I miss me more. Thought it hurt me, and I'd wanna kiss you. I thought I'd miss you, but I miss me more. I miss my own beat to my own snare drum. I miss me more. I miss my own sheets in the bed I made up. I forgot I had dreams, I forgot I had wings, forgot who I was before I ever kissed you. And I thought I'd miss you, but I miss me more.
Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song, and I go back to a two-tone short bed Chevy, driving my first love out to the levee, living life with no sense of time. Back to the feel of a 50-yard line, a blanket, a girl, some raspberry wine, wishing time would stop right in its tracks. Every time I hear that song, I'll go back, I'll go back. I used to rock all night long, keep on rocking me, baby. At frat parties, college bars, just trying to impress the ladies. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song, I go back to the smell of an old gym floor and the taste of salt on a Carolina shore after graduation and drinking goodbye to friends. I go back to watch a summer fade to fall, growing up too fast and I do recall, wishing time would stop right in its tracks. Every time I hear that song, somehow stamped our lives, it takes us to another place and time. So I go back to the pew, preacher and a choir, singing about God and brimstone and fire, and the smell of Sunday chicken after church. And I go back to the loss of a real good friend and the 16 summers I shared with him. Now only the good die young stops me in my tracks. Every time I hear that song, I'll go back, raspberry wine. I go back to watching summer fade, the fall growing up too fast, and I do recall. I share with him. Been in the wheel of there ain't a country station that I can't tune in. but there ain't nothing wrong with the radio.
She'd take Colorado if he'd take her with him. Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in. And wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane. He said, I wanna see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Had a truck stop diner just outside of Lincoln. The night is black as the coffee he was drinking. And in the waitress eyes he sees the same old light is shining. He thinks of Colorado and the girl he left behind him. He said, I wanna see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Born for leaving. Well, it's a winding road when you're in the lost and found. You're a lover, I'm a runner, and we go round and round. And I love you, but I leave you. I don't want you, but I need you. You know it's you that calls me back here, baby. When I close my eyes, I see you. No matter where I am, I can smell your perfume through these whispering pines. I'm with your ghost again. It's a shame about the weather, but I know soon we'll be together. And I can't wait till then. I can't wait till then.
My old apartment, that's how we got this whole thing. just a minute that I'd be standing face to face with my own destiny. Oh, and we sat there talking just like we were old friends. Oh, then I asked her, can I see you again? She said yes, and I said wow. Said when, and I said, how about it right now? Love can't wait. Then I asked if she believed in fate, and she said yes. The days flew by just like a fast train, and nothing else has been on my brain except the thought of how she makes me the man I wanna be. She's the one I want for a million reasons. Loving her is just like breathing. It's easy and it's obvious. She was made for me. Oh, then it happened one night looking in her. A question, much to my surprise. She said yes, I said wow. She said when, and I said how about it right now? Love can't wait. Then I asked if she believed in fate, and she said yes.
If I call you an angel, ain't you one of them girls? Ask you to dance, you say no, just to see how far I'll go. Your song comes on and your eyes close, that's when I know, yeah. You got your heart on lockdown, got a wall I gotta knock down. Kinda wanna do a shot now, come on now. You one of them girls that ain't trying to meet nobody, you're just here for the stop me. You're one of them girls that ain't handing out your number. You like to make us want you. You like to make us wonder if you're one of them girls. Cause I'm one of them boys who trade his whole world, yeah, for one of them girls who like to act all quiet, sexy, not even trying. Yeah, you know I ain't right. You're one of them girls, broke every heart in your hometown. On the day you rolled out, got them all wishing on stars now. If I found one of them girls that ain't trying to meet nobody, you're just here for the party. If I'm wrong, then stop me. You're one of them girls that ain't handing out your number. You like to make us want you. You like to make us wonder. If you're one of them girls, well, I'm one of them boys who trade his whole world, yeah.
steps on, hold all night long, write a little love song for one of them girls that ain't trying to mean nobody. You're just here for the party. If I'm wrong, then stop me. Yeah, you're one of them girls that ain't handing out your number. You like to make us want you. You like to make us wonder. If you're one of them girls, one of them girls.
Baby, since you left me, there's somebody new. She thinks I'm perfect, I swear. My body, my class, and my charm. She says I've got a confident air. She respects my ambition, thinks I'm talented too. But she's in love with an image time is bound to see through. Securities, you've seen me lose all my charm. You know I was raised on a farm. Oh, she tells her friends I'm perfect and that I love her cat. But you know me better than that. Picnics and blue jeans and buckets of beer. Now it's ballet and symphony hall. I'm into culture, clean up to my ears. It's like wearing a shoe that's too small. Oh, I caught her with an issue of Brides magazine, staring at dresses and out rings. But you know me better than that. You know the me that gets lazy and fat. How moody I can be, all my insecurities. You've seen me lose all my charm. Oh, but you know me better than that.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
This week on Viewpoints.
This constant checking is the real villain if we want to look at productivity, especially in the early 21st century, is because to check this inbox all the time requires you to shift your context.
Did you know that the average employee checks their email once every 6 minutes? Then,
all I told them was my name is Bob Hillen from the FBI, and I heard him on the radio, and I would like to meet with them about a case.
A skeptical FBI agent partners with a world-renowned psychic to solve a cold case. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every